Vadinam. Nirupito balaka eva yoginam. Sushushane pravishi nirvivikshatam. Aham puratita bove bhavam mune. Dasyas tu kasyas janaveda varinam. Nirupito balaka eva yoginam. Shushushane pravishi nirvivikshatam. Aham. I. Pura, formerly, Atita Bhove, in the previous millennium, Abhavam, became, Muni, O Muni, Dasya, of the maid servant, to but kasyashchana. I lost the voice. Certain. Vedavadinam. Of the followers of Vedanta. Nirupitaha. Engaged. Balakaha. Boy servant. Eva, only, yoginam, of the devotees, sushushane, in the service of, pravrishi, during the 4 months of the rainy season, nirvivikshatam, living together. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a servant, a certain maidservant, engaged in the service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Purport. The wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. He was the son of the most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, one's situation is called Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of in sense enjoyment. From the personal example of Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than service of the Lord. One should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in his service. Accept such a servant as the spiritual master, and engage himself in the spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is the transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of material senses. By the service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of the human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. The whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord as soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything to glorify the Lord, and therefore under his guidance the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the I closed the book before reading the last two words. Divine grace of what? The Lord's servant. So the purport is talking about servants and masters. We are actually servants. We're in Maya trying to be masters. There's a proper hierarchy of existence because there's only one supreme master, one master who's not anybody's servant. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsha Britya. Do we have a Sanskrit statement of the same idea? Well, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. Others are servants. They may be someone else's master. They may be in an intermediate position in the hierarchy of existence. Everyone is somebody's servant and somebody's master. But everybody, except for Krishna, is Krishna's servant. And everybody except for Krishna is not only a master, but also a servant. And then maybe at the bottom of the chain, there's somebody who's only a servant, who has no master, who has no servant. There are people who don't have servants. In India, middle-class, well-to-do family, they will hire somebody to clean their house. They have maybe not a full-time servant, but at least the lady comes in for a few hours a day and cleans the house, because the housewife, you know, can't stoop so low to do that tedious work. And many of our devotees in Delhi, they're well-to-do, they make money, and they have people come and clean their houses. Yesterday I stayed at the house of Venu Krishna Prabhu, who's also making money, but he has a simple lifestyle. He's a very modest lifestyle, his family. They used to live in a pretty crummy apartment. Now that the government has given them a nicer apartment. But still, I noticed his wife did all the work in the house. You know, unlike the other devotees at whose houses I stay, no, there was no cleaning lady coming in. She did all the work herself, and it took her all day. She was just cleaning, cooking, doing laundry all day. So there are some people who are just servants, a few people who don't have anybody who they can tell, you do this. Everybody's telling them, you do this. That's the bottom of the chain of existence. Servant who's not anybody's master. We try to avoid that position in material life. We try to fight our way to the other end of the scale and be master of as much as we can. And those who are in serious delusion, real demons, they try to become the supreme master. But We try to avoid being servant. We try to become as much as we can master. This is unnatural. This is Maya. What is recommended is that we revive our servant status. We have to, again, be servant, not only in externally in what we do, but in our attitude. We have to have the servant attitude. So you have to become, well, not that you should go out and find a master, like a dog looking for a master, or a shudra looking for an employer. That's not the idea, that anybody for your master. That won't rectify your spiritual dilemma. You may be able to earn a living as someone's servant, make some money by accepting service, naukri, service, become a servant of somebody to get money. But that's material. That doesn't solve your spiritual dilemma. You're working to make money so you can be a master. When you're done working, when you go home, you can be the master with the money in your pocket. To really become servant, you have to become Krishna's servant, the Supreme Lord's servant. Then you're properly situated. Because that is what every living being, every jiva, properly is. Jivera Swarup Hoy Nityo Krishna Das. The actual function, proper function of every living entity is to be serving as Krishna's dependent subordinate. And then Prabhupada, in his short purport, is giving more information that more important than trying to directly serve Krishna is to find a devotee of his, a servant, and accept the servant as master. You need a master, but you need a master who's a servant of Krishna. You need a master who's a servant, and not a servant of just anybody, but a servant of Krishna. A pure servant of Krishna, a completely surrendered servant of Krishna, who actually knows what Krishna wants. You need such a master. Then you can become properly situated again as Krishna's servant. That's basically what Prabhupada is discussing in the purport. Narada, he's eternally Krishna's servant, he's an eternal associate, but in his past times, he was a Gandharva, and then he even fell down from that position by having committed an aparad, behaving offensively. He was cursed by the rishis to take birth as a shudra. He didn't even know who his father was. His mother was shudra, so she wasn't so strict in her behavior, and she didn't even know who his husband was, who his father was. But that natural urge of the soul to be engaged in Krishna's service was not actually covered in Narada. When ordinary people fall into illusion, that illusion covers over, effectively puts to sleep the natural tendency to want to serve Krishna. We forget that, and instead we want to be the master and be served by others. But Narada didn't fall like that. He fell externally, but that urge to be Krishna's servant was still in his heart, awake, awake. And therefore, when it happened that some Vaishnavas came to the house of his mother to spend some months as guests during the rainy season, because sannyasis travel all over, the Parivrajakacharyas, but in India during the rainy season, travel is not practical, so it's enjoined that sannyasis stay in one place for the 4 months of the rainy season. These mendicants were staying at the house of Narada's mother. And he eagerly took the opportunity, even though he was a five-year-old boy, that urge in the heart to be Krishna's servant was so alive in him that he, even as a boy of 5 years old, just naturally knew that the right thing to do was to serve these servants of the Lord. He served them very nicely, and then they let him take their remnants of their food, the maha-maha prasadam, off of their plate. Narada was allowed to eat that, and that purified him. And his Krishna consciousness became revived. By taking the prasadam left behind by the great devotees, and by hearing them discuss the glories of Krishna repeatedly, Narada regained his Krishna consciousness. And then they initiated him into the Vaishnava mantra. And properly initiated, he chanted and realized Krishna, left the material world, regained his spiritual identity. Two things that need to be done, that Narada shows us how to do. You must become the servant of Krishna. Accept Krishna's servant as your master. One master or many masters, but you must have at least one spiritual master who is a pure devotee of Krishna. And then under the guidance of that spiritual master, you should engage in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. That's the basic process. The details may vary in application in different times and circumstances. Srila Rupa Goswami has taught us one variety of devotional service meant for our age and meant for, especially customized for the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are other methods of devotional service, but the basic principles remain the same. And the basic principles are: become servant of Krishna's servant, and hear, and in Kali Yuga especially, hear and chant the glories of Krishna. I'm going to have to stop early just because of physical weakness. I have to give another class later this morning. So maybe we can just stop for questions and answers. Questions and who knows what I can say. Yes.
So his mother, Narada Muni's mother, was Shudrani, and usually Prayagrajakacharya sannyasis, they're not inclined to stay in such a low-class places. They usually stay in Brahmana's place. So what was the reason that they picked up especially his house? Was it a Krishna's arrangement or just...
Well, Krishna's arrangement, certainly. I mean, Krishna's arrangement that Narada Muni got the association of pure devotees, which would not be easily available normally for the son of a Shudrani. The strict sannyasis may always avoid the association of lower class people, but pure Vaishnavas may take it as more important that they should distribute Krishna's mercy, and they may associate more freely against the strict principles. They may associate more freely with lower class people for the purpose of preaching. We don't know that the story the details are not there why they came to this house. Maybe it was an isolated place, there wasn't any alternative. I don't know why they chose, Narada Muni said. Maybe they just were, Avadutas, they didn't care where they stayed. Maybe that.
No, so some details of their stay, maybe it's not so important. But did they cook for themselves, or they would accept food cooked by this Shudrani? We know that it's very dangerous to take food which is cooked by somebody with such a low consciousness.
I don't know. These kind of principles. Whose house you can go to, whose food you can eat. These vary from individual to individual, from situation to situation. We have Prabhupada's example and Prabhupada's instructions. For preaching, Prabhupada allowed and even told his disciples to go to the houses of people who are not pure devotees. They're grihasthas, they're not initiated, not following properly. You know, still Prabhupada sent his disciples to these people's houses and had them accept their food. And these are not even proper devotees. Usually they should at least be vegetarians, but Prabhupada, pretty much the basic standard was, if they're vegetarians and they want to hear about Krishna, go to their house, accept their food. This was Prabhupada's instruction, basically, to his preachers. Am I wrong? I mean, that's how Prabhupada engaged his preachers. If you're not preaching, you can be more strict, or you can be more strict. You know, it's not that absolute principle that everybody has to follow like that. But this is how Prabhupada, in practice, engaged many of his preachers. You know, it can be different for him. One individual can be more strict about it and still do a lot of preaching, or someone who's not preaching can be more strict about it. Yes?
Also, a little bit different question. In the case of Narada Muni, he already had very, very strong urge towards Krishna, and this urge manifested in his servant attitude towards the Vaishnavas. But in our case, when we are covered by Maya, by illusion, we don't have this inclination to serve Vaishnava. So how we can develop this taste, this desire to serve Vaishnava?
Well, the developing of the taste to serve Vaishnavas, I think, is most practically done by serving the Vaishnavas without a taste. How do you get a taste for a certain kind of food that seems strange to you, but everybody tells you is very nice? You have to eat it and get used to it. So if you want to get a taste for serving Vaishnavas, you'll have to do it, with or without the taste, and experience what it's like. Then you gradually develop a taste. So to develop a taste for serving Vaishnavas, you had to practice, even by force, practice serving Vaishnavas. Yes, I'm sorry, but Madan Mohan Prabhu had something. You had some comment?
You mentioned about Prabhupada's attitude towards taking food in somebody else's house.
Yes.
There was a story about this in Brijan Prabhu's book, when he went to Hong Kong and one of the ladies in the Indian communities volunteered to cook for him. And devotees were kind of taken aback by her offer, because it was known that although she was a vegetarian, but her husband was not, and she had to cook in the same kitchen with the same utensils, meat for him. So Prabhupada was informed about it, and he said, but if I don't take the food she cooks, how will she make spiritual advancement?
Of course, Prabhupada's Paramahamsa.
Yeah, Prabhupada's...
He can tolerate the... her karma.
But on the other hand, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita purpose, he made a few very strong statements about how people, devotees, should be very, very careful not to eat food which is cooked by Vishaila Annachhaila... Anakaila Dustaha Imana. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he comments on that verse, saying that devotees should be very careful not to eat food cooked by people who are not devotees, otherwise their mind will become contaminated.
Okay,
and they won't be able to...
What about people who are initiated devotees? Should we... because they're grihasthas and I'm a brahmachari,
sure.
I shouldn't...
Always, yeah. Lord Chaitanya himself, we should take, because they're devotees, Krishna accepts food from their houses.
Unless you really want to be strict. I'm a brahmachari, I won't eat in the house of grihastha, but I don't know.
And devotees who are not initiated sometimes, because when we go, it looks like for the sake of, as you have explained just now, when we go to their houses and we preach, they want to reciprocate, and unless we accept something from them, it might be something very simple, maybe even fruits or something, but even prasadam which they cook.
You're talking about people who aren't initiated devotees.
They might not be initiated, but they're devotees and chanting and following.
Okay, they're so doing some chanting.
Looks like if we did something for them, they want to reciprocate, and that allows us to accept something from them.
Yes.
At least to maintain relations. But yeah. Prabhupada said that if we are very greedy to take the food, like Shukadeva Goswami, he was stopping in the Grihastha houses as an excuse to wait for milk, but he was there to preach, but we might take it otherwise.
But an immature devotee might go to a lot of houses to get nice food.
Yeah,
that isn't the wrong attitude.
On the pretext of...
Anyway, I'm not going to say that we have to eat in everybody's house, all our godbrothers and all the devotees. But that was Prabhupada himself did, how he engaged his disciples. If you want to be very strict yourself, more strict than that, there's no prohibition against it. But it sort of makes it hard to associate completely with your godbrothers and it can limit your preaching. But anyway, it's not that it's prohibited. That you can't be strict about what you eat. You can have your individual style. You can have your individual standards. Yes. In general, but there were exceptions. And when the Bombay Temple opened, and according to Prabhupada's instructions, we had Govinda's restaurant there, they had to hire Christians, non-Vaishnavas, to be the cooks. And Prabhupada accepted that. He said, it's offered to Krishna, it'll be purified. Well, the devotees were also eating there. And Prabhupada didn't say no, the devotees shouldn't eat there. He didn't say that. Either it's prasadam or it's not prasadam. If it's prasadam, devotees can eat it. Yes.
So when those devotees stayed in Narad Muni's house, he utilized their association properly and he served them and pleased them, and by which he got their mercy and he was able to perfect his life. So, but we see that there is a tendency because of the material contamination that to take the association of Vaishnavas cheaply, to take the association of Vaishnavas cheaply and take it for granted without considering the rare and important opportunity.
Yes.
Like even it is seen the dealings of devotees with their seniors and dealings of devotees with their equals also.
Yes.
So how to avoid this tendency to take things cheaply and which eventually leads to committing Vaishnavrat by fault finding?
Okay, well this is more difficult. This requires internal cultivation. Requires being very thoughtful to avoid not properly appreciating the value of the association of devotees. You have to be philosophical and meditative. You have to be very careful because we're in constant association with Vaishnavas. We can become thoughtless about what we're doing. We can start dealing with each other as if we would deal with ordinary people. So we really have to stay aware philosophically of the real value and importance of Vaishnava association. It requires studying Bhagavatam regularly or some way of keeping your awareness away, keeping your awareness of the importance of Vaishnavas. If we just get into an external mode of just associating without much thought of the spiritual value, then we can become offensive against the Vaishnavas.
So even the process of philosophical understanding and studying Bhagavatam and other scriptures, there is also another tendency of feeding the intelligence and ego and mind instead of learning the principles and the essential aspects of life from the scriptures. Instead of that, a person might just be doing intellectual gratification, or his ego might be feeding.
Well, in that case would be someone holding on to something and not letting go. Why would it be that you're studying the Bhagavatam and you're not getting spiritual education from it, you're just getting information? That means you're not listening properly. You're not listening with a proper attitude. And that means that you've got some material attachment that you just are unwilling to give up. Your pride in your own intelligence, or maybe some materialistic activity you're not stopping, maybe within the, you know, allowed technically by the regulative principles, but still it's a materialistic tendency. Because of material attachments, because of offensive attitude, because of pride, you may not be hearing with the proper attitude. And therefore, what you get from the hearing is just material information. You hear about how this is wrong and that is wrong, and you just think it applies to everybody else but you, because of listening with the wrong attitude. So we have to develop a humble, honest, sincere attitude, and then sit down and listen.
So eventually, what will be the reaction and consequence of a sadhaka who's having this kind of a...
It depends. There can be all sorts of reactions, all sorts of things that happen. It depends. It depends about how... If you're committing offenses, and inattentive hearing is an offense, if you're committing any offenses, the reactions vary according to the severity of the offense and how much it's done over and over again, and who you're doing it against. It varies. You know, in the least case, you may just waste your time. You're sitting listening, but you're not getting full benefit from it. That's your reaction. In the worst case, you fall down from devotional service and go back to material life, or something in between. All sorts of reactions, depending on the severity, on the kind of offense, and who's being offended, and how much offense you've already accumulated, how much you've got in your account. Okay. Dermidabu.
Another day you mentioned that everyone who is here has a material body except for Krishna, who has his...
Well, okay. Did anybody discover that I was wrong?
No.
Okay.
I want to ask...
This is one of these things I've been assuming for a long time. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. What about Narada Muni? What in the case of Narada Muni, when he travels back and forth, does he accept temporarily spiritual body while entering, or what's...
Well, it's described in the end of the 6th chapter. When Narada Muni left his body after he you know, went to the forest and he had a short vision of Narayana, then he left his body some years later. It said that he dropped the material elements and got his spiritual body. And he's still living in the material world in a spiritual body. But he's an exception. Narada Muni, you know, he can freely go back and forth between the material world and Vaikuntha anytime he wants. And he can do that because he has a spiritual body. So he's an exception. He's a jiva living in the material world with a spiritual body. Lord Shiva is not a jiva, but his body is also eternal and spiritual. But I think the rest of us are different. Yeah. I think, I don't know, then I can just guess. Let me just guess. You know, I have no real authoritative evidence to answer it properly, but I can make a guess that the Kumaras are not on the same level as Narada. You don't read about them going to Vaikuntha back and forth all the time. They don't commute regularly. We read about them going once. So I think they have, and they're residents of Tapoloka. So I think their bodies are very subtle but material. I think. You know, I'm guessing. I don't think there are many devotees with traveling the material world with spiritual bodies. Narada is an exceptional case. Anything else?
Madam, if I'm not mistaken, Prabhupada means, because there was another instance with Durvasa Muni, who also supposedly went to the spiritual world because he met Narayana, but there was a mention somewhere, as far as I remember, Prabhupada must have mentioned it in the purpose, that both the Kumaras and Durvasa Muni, they didn't really enter the Vaikuntha, they were stopped at the precincts of Vaikuntha, so to say, so Narayana came out.
They were in the waiting room, they didn't actually go inside.
No, not really, so okay. It was not the real spiritual realm, because they had still material
and
bodies.
And that includes the Kumaras?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Durvas Muni didn't go beyond this universe, it seems. He just went to a place near Brahmaloka where Vishnu resides. That's what
really?
Stated.
He didn't even leave the universe. Yeah. He's also an avatar. He's an avatar of Lord Shiva. But I guess an avatar avatars don't have to have material bodies. I don't know if he's a jiva or Shiva. I don't know. I don't know whether Durvasa Muni is a jiva or whether he's directly Lord Shiva. Yes.
Durvasa Muni, he's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. He's a partial incarnation.
Partial. Okay, so it looks like he has a material body because he didn't even enter Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva could do that with no problem. So we stop here? Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.